Our speaker is a powerful man of God who speaks directly into people's lives. And I want to say that I really believe the enemy tried to keep him from coming to us tonight. But we command it. Amen. God brought him to us. Let's give him a warm Chicago Living Word welcome, Bishop David Oedipo. Oh, yes. My brother. Let me just say before, don't sit down yet. Before he starts, that he is going to meet with some of the members of his church in Nigeria who are here tonight. So if you'll stay around the sanctuary following that, he will meet with you. All right, praise Bishop Oedipo.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Jesus a big hand of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We are blessed to be here tonight. It's simply an act of God. God intended it, and God brought it to pass. And we give him all the praise. Hallelujah. It's a joy for my wife and I to be here. We flew 15 and a half hours to be here from Nigeria. And it's such a joy falling into the loving arms of Pastor Bill Wilson and his wife. It's a great joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great, great church and for the great leadership under which this church operates. We thank you for the testimony that's all over the world. And we come in here tonight trusting you to speak into the lives of people. Lord God of heaven, go through my vocal system and reach out to every life present here to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand and please take your seat. I'm also here with my assistant, Pastor Mike Ogbolu, is here with me. You're welcome. Tonight is my joy, and I'm touching on a very sensitive subject, which I think would influence, impart, and distinguish every one of us at the end of the day. God is faithful. Success is a choice. That's my subject. Success is a choice. And I'd like us to be very open-hearted because I know tonight God is going to be rewriting various destinies, rewriting various stories, and we'll all live here tonight with a new determination to make a difference. You are created to make a difference. You are born to make a difference. That's why the Bible says you are a peculiar people. You are a royal priesthood. You are chosen to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are peculiar. You are unique. People should look up to you. They should look up to you for answers. They should look up to you for direction. They should look up to you for the way to go. People are expected to look up to you. You are to be envied, not to be pitied. Now, this is very important. And I know that because the way you think is what determines the way you live. And the way you live is what determines what you become. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it is actually mentality that defines destiny. If your mentality is negative, you are heading for a negative destiny. If your mentality is positive, you are heading for a positive destiny. So everything about you and me has to do with our mental picture. Until you have the appropriate picture, you cannot create your desired future. You need an appropriate picture, mental picture, to create your desired future. And tonight I will try to give us the background of our heritage of success and what it takes to actualize it. You have an heritage of success. You need to know that it will affect the way you think. And then you need to know how to actualize it so you can take responsibility and then make a great deal out of it. I know that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of colors. God is no respecter of nationalities. The Bible said, but in every nation, everyone that fears him and operates according to the rules will be equally approved of him. So success is for all. All we need is to understand that we have a part of it and then we can walk fully into it. The reason why our ministry will not be poor and cannot be poor is because I know that prosperity is the heritage of all the sons of God. Where they live, notwithstanding. Yes, it is not where you live that matters. It is how you live that matters. Where you live is not as important as how you live. Because our God is God of all the earth. So how you live is what determines how he relates with you. I saw in my Bible many years ago that there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. But the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And so all we have done to date in 26 years, we have done debt-free, begging-free, appeal-free. Because God is God of all the earth, and he relates with everyone at the same level. He's no respecter of persons. You can trust him, and he will show up. When you trust him, he will show up. When you trust him, he will show up. And that's all I think we're here to do tonight, to help you see first your heritage of success. As a seed of Abraham, you are called to be a blessing to your world. And you can't be a blessing until you are blessed. So God already intends that every seed of Abraham is a blessed person. And to be blessed means to be prosperous, to be successful. That means that God already intends for every seed of Abraham to be a success. So if you are a seed of Abraham, you are a success. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. I will bless you and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thy seed shall all the people of the earth be blessed. So we are Abraham's seed. And we are a blessing to our world, which supposes that we are a blessed people. So if you are a seed of Abraham, you are born a success. You are born to be successful. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 6 downwards, it talks about, this further defines our kind of success. God speaking to Abraham said, in verse 6, 17, 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, not slaves, not peasants, but kings. Now that talks about every seed of Abraham. You are either a nation or a king. You can be less. A nation means an institution. There are individuals on earth that are not just personalities, they are institutions. You are either an institution or a king. Out of Abraham will not come out failures, slaves, and peasants, but nations and kings. This is very important. So every seed of Abraham is either an institution or a king. You can be less. So if you are a seed of Abraham, you are at least a king. A king means at the top. Say with me, I belong to the top. I'm a seed of Abraham. I belong to the top. This is very important. That is trying to find out your heritage of success, taking your root in Abraham. And my Bible says, Christ was made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangs upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come unto us who are Gentiles, and I might obtain the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So if you are saved, you are entitled to the blessing of Abraham. And among the blessing is success. So you are born to be a success. Success is your heritage. And your root in Abraham guarantees that. Now we also understand from scriptures that everyone that is born again is born to be a success. How? In Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 to 16, the word says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, and a city set on an hill that cannot be hid. Verse 14. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are adding value to human life. You are created to add value to human life. Ye are the light of the world. You are a pace setter, a pathfinder, and a trailblazer. You show the world the way forward. You show the world the way to go. You are ahead of the world. Light is ahead of darkness. So if you are born again, you are born as a role model, a pathfinder, a trailblazer. You are not just an ordinary person on the street. New birth makes you unique. Everyone should be looking up to you. He said, a city set on an hill that cannot be hidden. So you are up there. The world should be looking up there before they can find you. You shouldn't be found out there down on the ground. You should be found right there on top. That's where you belong. Because mentality is very vital in defining your destiny. If you are born again, that's your place. He said, neither do men light the candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. So you are created to shine. You are born to shine. You are not born for shame. You are born to shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now it's very important for us to know that as a seed of Abraham, you are born to succeed. As a child of God, you are born a pathfinder, a trailblazer. As a child of God, you are a house built on a mountain that cannot be hid. The world should be looking up there to find you. This is very important. And look at what Jesus said. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to declare these things unto you. I am Alpha and Omega, the bright and the morning star. Revelation 22, verse 16. The bright and the morning star. So Jesus came as a star. And my Bible said, as the Father has sent him, so has he sent you. So you are sent as a star. If Jesus came as a star, then you are sent as a star. Now listen to this. In Revelation 22, verse 16, it said, the bright and the morning star. You don't have to get old before you shine. the bright and the morning star. You don't wait till night to shine. The bright and the morning star. Now that means in Christ, you are born to be an early success. You don't grow old to have value. This is so important. And then, of course, your route number three that guarantees your success. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And one nation shall say to another, come and let us go to the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and walk in his path. For out of Zion shall proceed the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? It means in the end time, God's people will be in charge. That the exploits in the body of Christ in the end time will humble the world. That the world will be rushing to the church to find a way forward. That the church will be leading the way in the end time. And I'm glad to let us know we are all part of the end time saints. So it is our time. It is our time. It is our time. And Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that prophecy is repeated verbatim. Micah 4, 1 and 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And one nation shall say to another, come ye and let us go to the mountain of the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and we walk in his path. For out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now that means that every end time saint is positioned for supernatural exploits. Every saint in the end time is ordained for supernatural exploits. Now, these three positions helps you to appreciate how that success is your birthright in Christ. As a seed of Abraham, you are born to be a blessing to your world, not a burden. You are born to be a blessing, not a concern. You are born to be a distributor, not a collector. Now you see, this is so important, and until you are blessed, you cannot be a blessing. That means God has ordained for you to be blessed. All you need is, how do I get there? And when Pastor came up here, he started talking about laws. So I showed Mike and I said, can you see, he's already speaking from my note. He was doing all I wanted to do when I came up here. Now, whatever works and keeps working must be operating by laws. Anything that is constantly working and producing must be operating under a set of laws. If you don't understand those laws, you can't flow in. You need to understand that everything of value operates by laws. Though success is your birthright and my birthright, there are laws that guarantees your appropriation of that birthright. You can get there just there. There are three scriptures that show us the way to success. Three of them. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 to 14. If you will diligently hearken, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 to 14. It said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and observe and do all that he commands you this day, that the Lord your God will set you up on high above all nations of the earth. That is extraordinary success. But look at what he said. Diligently hearken. Observe where it applies and invest in a bit to actualize what God has ordained. It's not enough to know what to do. it is important to actually do it. Now, you see, I was teaching on wisdom recently, and I taught the people that wisdom is not just knowing the right way to go. Wisdom is knowing the right way to go and going there. Now, you see, wisdom is knowing the right thing to do and doing it. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to say and saying it. Now, you see, knowing it is information, it's knowledge. Doing it is wisdom. And so it's so important that we understand that all of these laws are not supposed to be recited. They are supposed to be actualized. They are supposed to be engaged. Otherwise, nothing happens. They're so important. And do. So doing something is the key to getting anything. All you know, all that I know notwithstanding, until you do something about what you know, it does not amount to anything. Yes, sir. Now, if you check Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, to observe and to do. He said, then you make your way prosperous. And then you have good success. Now you do before you can have. You do it before you can have it. Until you do it, you cannot have it. Now see, that's why it's so important for us to know that what we know is only a gateway to getting to where we are going. Until we start applying what we know, we never get to where we are going. It's so important. He said, observe to do, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. So good success demands that you do what the book of the law says. Otherwise, you'll never have good success. If you won't do it, you won't have it. If you won't do it, you can get it. One of the church leaders asked me a question sometimes. He said, please, can you tell me the secret of the prosperity of this church? I said, would you ever like it if I tell you? He said, I will. I said, I don't think so. Then I chipped in just one of the things we do. And after I gave it to him, I said, but I told you before, you may not like it. You may not like it. Our mission is an addicted giving mission. We are addicted givers. We are addicted distributors. We have never lacked. 26 years of growing in grace in all dimensions. Growing in grace, number multiplying, 50,000 seats is jammed every Sunday morning. Far away from town. Times and again, we had to supplement with chairs from the store to keep up with the number. Finances on the increase. 26 years, no downward trend. No year has ever been greater than the previous. We have never had a better yesterday. Now see, why? Because certain laws are engaged to keep the heaven open. They are laws. They are laws. You cannot have good success until you do what makes successful. That word says, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Until then, don't expect it. So there is what you must do in order to make your way prosperous. There is what you must do in order to have good success. It's so important. Doing is the key. Do something if you must get anything out. Put something in if you must get anything out. Do something and do it right. Do something and do it creatively. Do something and do it consistently. Do something and do it tirelessly. Do something, do it excitedly. Do it passionately. Because success is a product of doing. My Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. So it's all about doing. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, verse 3 said, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, shall prosper. Those three scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, and Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. This is so important. This is why I believe so many people unknowingly chose failure. Because success is a choice, but a very hard one. Success is a hard choice. That's why many people ignore that choice and unknowingly chose failure. Because you either choose success or you have chosen failure, whether you say it or not. The choice of failure is a cheap choice. Just do nothing. Do nothing, and you'll be an outstanding failure. Just do nothing, and you fail more than failure. Just do nothing, and you will be a very comprehensive definition of failure. Just do nothing. The law to failure is wake up and do nothing. Wake up and do nothing. So success is for doers, not for talkers. Success is for doers, not for talkers. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to penury. In all labor. So if all you are doing is just talking and talking and talking, you'll be out with time. It's time to wake up and do something. It's time to wake up and do the right thing. Do it at the right time. Give it all you've got. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Christ, through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And he said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting might appear to all. So if you want outstanding success, you must give yourself totally to the discoveries you have made in God's word. Until you do that, you are not going there. It's so important. It's so important for us to know this. What does it take to actualize your heritage of success? I'll run through this in a few minutes. Somebody has said it is only in the dictionary that success comes before work. But in actuality, in all cases and at all times, it is work before success. Everything about success is work. What is success? Call it accomplishment. Accomplishment of what? Accomplishment of a given task. So you must know what the task is. Finding out your purpose on earth is the first step in the journey of success. What is my mission on earth? Because there cannot be accomplishment without a task. You must have an assignment before you talk about accomplishment. So you must know what your assignment is before you are a candidate for success. And that discovery is not cheap. It takes time. It takes what? It takes time to discover your mission on earth, to be able to define in details your assignment on earth, understanding the time and the phases of that assignment. It's a lot of job. Ask any visionary and they will tell you it's a hard job. It's a hard task. Unfortunately, many people never live to discover why they are here until they die. If it is that cheap, everybody should know it. Majority are simply living to make a living. Very few know where they are going. So they cannot tell when, if ever, they get there. Because there is no definition. So in the school of success, the first task before you is to be able to know why you are here. What is my mission on earth? Where am I heading for? And that's a lot of job. God may decide to come over to you and tell you this is where you belong. In most cases, you have to go find out by yourself. Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I know my plan for you, the plans of welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will come to me and pray unto me. And when you seek me, you shall find me. When you shall seek me with all your heart. So it's not about just sitting down and waiting for it to happen. You go look for it. Lord, why am I here? What is my mission on earth? What am I fitted for? That is where success story begins. You must have a well-defined mission before you can talk of fulfillment, accomplishment, any day, anytime. There must be a well-defined mission. 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 Now, far back in 1982, God told me that at the base of our ministry, there will be a tabernacle built that will seat 50,000 people. 1982. Now, we only broke the ground in 1998. From 1982 to 1998, that is 16 years. But would you put three people in the 50,000 seat capacity auditorium? No. I started pastoring from three people. I used to call it three and a half because one was not stable. Now, you see, by the end of 1984, our highest attendance for the entire year was 154. Now, meanwhile, in 1982, we already had a divine agenda that states that we will one day build a 50,000-seat capacity sanctuary. But here we were, 154 in 1984. So we moved. And by 1985, we had grown to 500 plus. And we moved. By 86, we were hitting about 1,000. And we moved. And God began moving. Now, you see, it's all about working it out. You don't stay on somewhere waiting for it to happen. You work it out. Even salvation. He said, work out your own salvation or you get lost. Even miracles, it talks about the gift of the working of miracles. There is anything you don't work, won't work. Anything you don't work, won't work. So the first is a discovery. Find out your purpose. That is not cheap. That is not cheap. That is not cheap. Discovery of purpose is not cheap. It's a high task. If it were cheap, all will have found it. So go find it. Many are just doing whatever thing they find. Very few know what they are really looking for. But I know something, that it is the manufacturer that determines the purpose of a product. So your purpose is in the hand of God. All you need is to go look for it. Lord, what is your purpose for creating me? There must be a purpose. For it is not we that has made ourselves, it is God that has made us. We are his people and the flock of his pasture. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we came out of God's factory. There's a particular purpose in his mind before he sent us here. Every product in the market has its purpose determined in the factory, not in the market. Not in the market. So your purpose is not to be determined by you, it is to be discovered by you. Your purpose will be discovered by you. So it is not a thing, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't determine it, you discover it. And that's where the task is. Now the number two very important task is find out what it takes to actualize your mission. That's what I call the power of information or skill development. It's so important. You know what your mission is, and you also have the knowledge, the working knowledge of that mission. My Bible says, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because he knows not how to go to the city. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. He knows not how, so you need a know-how. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. It is not about hard work, as it were. It's about right work. We have to do it right. We have to do it right. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's one thing to know where you are going, it's another thing to know how to get there. Knowing where you are going is one thing, knowing how to get there is another. If you don't know how to get there, knowing where you are going is a burden. You must know how to get there. When the Lord called me to ministry, I spent time and took time out and I studied about 39 selected biographies. I selected 39 biographies of great men of God to see how they think, how they moved, how they pursued their vision. So by the time I came into full-time ministry, I was very matured. I've added a lot of people's experience to my own empty experience. I could tell how Billy Graham will move, how Kenneth Hagin will move, how Lesra will move, how Ora Robert will do this. I took time out, and from their various stories, I got to know their secrets. So coming to ministry, I was able to make quality decisions from time to time towards going to where we are going. So it's so important. It's not enough to have vision. You must have adequate information to drive it. Information is a vehicle with which you drive a vision. If you don't have adequate information, in our circle we call it revelation, you're going to be stranded. You need revelation to drive every divine vision. You need revelation to drive every divine vision. You need revelation. And in any field where you are called into, you will require this know-how. I call it know-how. The know-how is the way out. You must have the know-how. How do I get there? This is where I'm going. How do I get there? This is very important. And that will require investment of time and resources. Investment of time and resources to train up, to get equipped, so you can drive your vision intelligently, creatively, productively. You need time. I've said time and again, I must have one of the largest private libraries around. I've been building it over the years. Not decorative library, but informative library. Somewhere where I draw from time to time. I could pick on anything and say, 1985, I got this, 1986, I got this, 19 this, I got this, because I was going through them. It's so important. You'll be limited except you are adequately equipped with relevant information in the pursuit of your vision. You'll be limited. Success is a choice, but a very hard choice. That's why many people ignore it and just wish that it happens on its own. Success will never happen on its own. It is made to happen by those who desire it. First, know where you are going. Two, commit yourself to knowing how to get there. Invest your time, invest your resources to develop the required skill in order to actualize your set goals. There is no substitute to that. There is no substitute to that. Paul the Apostle showed us in one of the epistles, he said, "The cloak which I left with thee at Troas, when thou comest, bring with thee, and my books, and especially my notes." Paul was a no-nonsense man. He was constantly driving on the wheels of revelations. So he rose far above all the apostles. There is no choice. We don't have a choice. We have to wake up and do it. The number three task in actualizing our vision is what I call give it all it takes. Give it all it takes. Find your purpose. Lay hold on the know-how. And then number three, give it all it takes. Give it all it takes. God called Abraham, "I'm going to bless you and I'll make you great and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing." And Abraham went ahead, and the Bible said he became very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Abraham didn't go to sleep at the age of 75. He rose up to the challenge. He gave it all it took. And in chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible said Abraham was old and stricken in age, and the Lord has blessed him in everything. He was a hard worker. At the age of 90, he led the army out by himself in the middle of the night. Abraham was a hard worker. Think of Isaac. Isaac, we are told in Genesis 26, verse 1 to 12, or verse 1 to 14, he dug the well of water which the Philistines had filled up, the wells that his father dug before, and they came and filled it up. He dug again, they filled it up. He dug again, they filled it up. And after the third time, they left him alone. He was a tireless worker. And the Bible said he went forward, he worked strong, he became very great, and the Philistines envied him. He was a tireless worker. Think of Jacob. Jacob, a creative worker. You remember how he raised a new breed of sheep by making stripes on poplar trees? And then he took over the entire estate of Laban by creative labor. So Abraham was a hard worker, Isaac a tireless worker, Jacob a creative worker. And if the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your God, then you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You must be a hard worker, you must be a creative worker, you must be a tireless worker. Otherwise, you will lose your worth. Otherwise, you lose your worth. Otherwise, you lose your worth. Many years ago, I saw in my Bible, Proverbs 22, verse 29. It said, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, man. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, man." And the Lord said to me, he said, "Where you stand tomorrow is a function of how much you invest in your assignment today. Where you stand tomorrow is a function of where you stand, how much you invest in your assignment today. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly." Today, back home in Africa, I'm not sure there is any president of any nation that would not be most excited to see me stop over in their nation and seek audience with me. And most of the time we have been humbled by people coming to welcome me, president, and walking into services with me, even though they were not Christians. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, man. I think it's time for us to create the kind of future we desire. It's time to create the kind of future we desire. There is a room for you on top. If you are not there, it's because you chose not to be there. Joseph was a slave in the house of Potiphar. And he went out to do his business and went out to do his business until he secured all the favor that any slave can ever get from anywhere. He was a prisoner, and whatever work that was done in that prison, Joseph was the doer of it. And so Joseph became a leader in the prison just by the things he was doing. Any assignment they gave them, he was up and doing. They took notice of him in no time and put him in charge. The hand of the diligent beareth rule, but the slothful shall die under tribute. It's important to put your hands to work so you don't lose your worth. Nothing works without someone working it. Even Jesus, the most anointed. So anointing is no substitute for work. Jesus was anointed without measure, and yet he said, I must walk the works of him that sent me, while it is day, for the night cometh, where no man can walk. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must walk. John 5, 17, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. I love what the pastor said. He said, it's not saying you must not walk. No, because walk is part of the laws. It's part of the laws. I said humorously recently, God gave Adam and Eve an assignment. There was no record that they went about that assignment any day before the fall. Dress it and keep it. I didn't read where they went out to dress. I only saw where they were trying to eat the fruit. I didn't see when they went out. If you won't do what he has commanded you to do, the devil will get you out at the other side. It's just important for us to stay on our job. Pastor, we have not received anything from any foreign country in doing the things that we are doing in Nigeria. It's coming from above. Who told you? Wherever the sun shines, there he reigns. Wherever the sun shines, there Jesus reigns. He's the same Lord over all the earth. He's no respecter of persons. If you do it right, you get the right result. You do it right, you get the right result. So success is not a matter of luck. It's a matter of light. How much light you have and how much you are walking in that light is what determines how successful you ever become. May I say this? That God has done everything to make you a success. It is your choice that determines what happens eventually. God has done everything to make you a success. It is your choice that determines what happens to you eventually. I said some time back, whatever you don't want, don't watch. Whatever you don't resist has a right to remain. Whatever you don't confront, you cannot conquer. Don't watch your life going down. Do something to get it up. Do the right thing to get it up. Do the right thing to get it up. Whatever you don't want, you don't watch. Whatever you don't resist has a right to remain. Whatever you don't fight has right to prevail. And whatever you don't confront, you cannot conquer. Success is your birthright. Refuse to be called a failure. Refuse to be mistaken for a failure. Get yourself up, work on yourself, and then you're up there. May I say this? My Bible says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. Most people strive to be successful without God. You are wasting your time. My Bible said, without me, ye can do nothing. My Bible said, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds it. My Bible says, except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are away, but in vain. He says, in vain you got up early in the morning and you went to bed late, in the night, eating the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 3. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. By strength shall no man prevail. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I saw under the sun that the battle is not to the strong, nor yet the race to the swift, neither yet favor to men of skill. God is at the bottom of every good thing that happens to any man. Please check it. Without God, you are limited. Without God, you are very limited. Without God, you cannot be truly fulfilled. Without God, there will remain a void in your life. God is the center that keeps every aspect of your destiny together. So wake up and give God this place. When you give God this place, then you are ready to fly to the highest. This is what it takes. All of these principles will work when your life anchors on God. God, my Bible said in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, which is a great commandment of the law. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. All. That means all principles of scriptures hangs on this law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor and as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. That means without this commandment, all the other principles cannot function. That is the platform upon which they function. So you are very, very, very fortunate to be a member of God's family. That is what makes it happen. Not only do you get at it, you are able to supernaturally sustain it. And you are growing in it. Only God can do that. My Bible said, whatever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. It shall be forever. It shall be forever. I always tell people, I'm not afraid of tomorrow. Because we didn't get to where we are today by ourselves. We got here by God. And God said, I am that I am. So we are sure of tomorrow. Because God of yesterday is a God of today and will be the God of tomorrow. I've always told people we have not succeeded by tricks. We have succeeded by truth. And because truth is truth, any day, anytime, anywhere, we are sure of tomorrow. That's why I'm inviting you again tonight. Please, stay in love with Christ. It is the master key to a life of triumph. Stay in love with Christ. It is a gateway to a world of unlimited accomplishment. Stay hooked onto Christ, and there'll be no end to having a great story to tell from time to time. That's what it takes. All the principles, fantastic. But your relationship with God is what determines how they function in your life. I've written up to date about 60 books. And I said to people, if you engage all the principles that I teach from scriptures, you have not found my secret until you discover my heartbeat for God. My secret is my heartbeat for God. You know what the Bible says? Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. It has not entered the heart of any man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. If you want to make life at its best, then be in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Be in love. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what I have prepared for them that love me. I have prepared something strange for them. Something the world has never seen before. If you want to fall into that group, that's what it takes. You need a baptism of his love to make the most of your destiny. You need a baptism of his love to make the most of your destiny. You need a baptism of his love to make the most of your destiny. You need a baptism, a fresh baptism of his love. Do you really love him? Love is not a gift. Love is a choice. Love is not an endowment. Love is a decision you make. He says, Simon, lovest thou me more than this? He said, I love you, Lord. Simon, do you really love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Simon thought time, do you really love me? He said, Lord, you know that you know, that you know, that you know, because you know all things, that I love you. How do you answer that question today? That will determine how high you will ever fly. Why? The more successful you become, the more likely you think you are the one doing it. So if you are not hooked onto God, it will be a risk for you, for God to allow you to succeed beyond your capacity. If you want to really go the highest, then let the Most High be the one on whom your entire destiny is hanging. When that happens, there will be no limit to how far he can take you. Because anywhere you are still saying, God, I know you are the one. 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 After we completed our sanctuary and we dedicated it, I told our pastors, I said, listen, folks, if anyone ever went around this building and built his church that we built it, I said, God will kill him. Because we have no capacity, no ability, no wherewithal to do this. God did it. Now see, when your life hangs on God like that, there will be no limit to what he can do in your life. There will be no limit to what he can do in your life. Covenant University is now just about 5 years old. And it's today, by the grace of God, the leading university in the nation. Today, it is the most equipped engineering school. In 5 years, all debt-free. All debt-free. Built at heaven's speed. All debt-free. Everybody coming around knew, this must be God. This is the hand of God. That is the difference between what we teach in church and what motivational people teach outside. We teach in church giving you a foundation that is proven. This is the only way to build to last. Building on the principles of scriptures and standing in the love of God. When that happens, there'll be no limit to where God can take you. Friends, you are in a great place. The first time I met your pastor, my spirit went after him. And when I came in today, I said, you commanded me to come. Because everything was looking like it would not work. But as I look at him in the spirit and what my spirit bears witness with the spirit, I knew I had no choice but be here. Even if for only 2 hours and get out, I knew I had to be here. And I'm glad I'm here. Please listen to this. God desires that we all be successful. There is enough room for every one of us to be successful. Amen. There is enough room for every one of us to be successful. The Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings. Who are the kings? It calls him the Lord of Lords. Who are the lords? So you are no ordinary citizens of the earth at all. You are no ordinary citizens of the earth at all. Ye are no ordinary citizens of the earth at all. Ye are kings under the King of Kings. Ye are lords under the Lord of Lords. You are not slaves. You are not servants. You are not failures. You are not peasants. So wake up and think right. You know what God said to Abraham? Thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven. As the stars of heaven. No, not just sons, they are stars. The seeds of Abraham are stars of heaven. What do I call them? Stars of heaven. Stars, 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 stars. I carried this mentality from the beginning. Even when things seemed not to be working, I couldn't see it. I kept saying what God said. Boy, you are a bright and morning star. Boy, you are a star after the order of the seed of Abraham. Boy, you are to be envied like Isaac and not to be pitied. Because as Isaac was, we are children of promise. So whatever happened to Isaac must happen to me. So I'm supposed to be envied, not to be pitied. Look, when you gather these things together, you will want to do anything it tells you to do together. I know God is a faithful God. I know that God is a faithful God. I know that God is a faithful God. I know that God is a faithful God. Abraham was successful in his business. Abraham was successful in his health. There was no itches on his health at all. Abraham had a successful family life. Himself and Isaac went through it. Himself and Sarah went through it. Excitedly, delightsomely. And God gave them that kind of throne that they have today. Every aspect of Abraham's life was a success. And that's where your root is. So every aspect of your life must be a success. Because you are Abraham's seed. 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 Amen. New York Times visited me sometimes 2004, and they asked me a question. Can you tell us the secret of the economic empowerment of this mission? I said, we're a blessed people. We are what? We are a blessed people. That's our secret. We are just blessed. Anything we touch is blessed. Anything we do is blessed. So we are just blessed. We are just blessed. And that is your heritage in Abraham. And I pray today that as you step out of this service, this mentality will rule your life. That look, I must not continue to live like a slave. God, show me where I belong. Show me what I'm fitted for. I must not continue to live like a servant. Show me where I'm fitted for. And show me how to get there. Then you begin to invest in books and in other resource materials, and begin to invest your time in unlocking the things that are not open to you. Begin to unlock them, and then get back to work. And as you begin to work, things will begin to work. Like I told you, nothing works without someone working it. Even miracles has to be worked. Show me all of us that go out in outreaches and miracles happen. There are certain things behind the scene that we have done. We have stayed on the Lord. We've searched scriptures. We have waited. We have prayed in the spirit. We have prayed in our understanding. And now the time is coming. You are like a pregnant woman. You're not talking to anybody. Ready to go. That somebody is somewhere working something. So you see it in the open. And if you leave your salvation out without working it, it will be lost over time. Very shortly, you will abandon Christ before you know what is happening. You work it out by reading your Bible every day, praying every time, and meditating on the Word of God all the time, and making sure your ways are in line with Scriptures. It takes working it before it works. May you receive that anointing today. Anointing to keep working it until it works. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet, everybody. Say with me, success is a choice. It's a hard choice, but I choose to succeed. It's my heritage in Abraham. It's my heritage in Christ. It belongs to me as an end time saint. I refuse to sell off. I must succeed. It is my birthright. Lift up your two hands and just prophesy over your life. A new order. Prophesy over your life. Desire a change of level. Desire a change of level. Desire a change of level. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Come on, give them a big, big hand of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. May I request that you sit down for a moment while I do this last thing I'm about to do right now. This is the most important thing tonight. I'd like everyone to please give me just this 1 minute, and then we'll be out. You cannot be a seed of Abraham until you are born again. You cannot become the light of the world until you are a child of God. You don't belong to the end time church until you receive Christ as your Savior. So all that we have said today may not apply to you until you choose to come into the family. New birth is the only way to become a member of God's family and become a partaker of his inheritance. So wherever you may be in this service today, in this sanctuary, I'd like to just invite you, if you have never met Jesus before and you have not made him your Lord and Savior, we'd like to pray with you and receive you into the family. You need to do this. February 19, 1969, I met Jesus. Today is just about 38 years. The story is getting sweeter by the day. Jesus sweetens life. Jesus guarantees fulfillment. Jesus is everything you need to be anything you are created to be. If you are there and you want to be born again, please stand to your feet and we will pray with you in a moment and you shall be saved. Oh, people in the overflow, please. If you are standing in the overflow, please get to your feet. We pray with you together. Everyone that wants to give his life to Christ, you want to be born again, please stand to your feet. In the main sanctuary and in the overflow. And we'd like to have you come down here, please, in front. Please come down in front. Everyone standing, please come down in front. From the overflow, please, everyone that wants to give his life to Christ, come straight down here. Everyone that's joining us, please come very quick. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is joy in heaven over one soul that returns home. Come on, there is joy in heaven tonight. There is joy in heaven tonight. Amen. Would you please bow your heads as we pray? And say with me, Lord Jesus, I accept you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day, you rose again that I may be justified. Right now, I believe I am forgiven, I'm justified, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin. to serve the living God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Come on, give it a big hand. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a big hand of praise.
If you'll just hold your position for just a moment, please. Just a moment. You're going to get out. You're going to get out. I just want to just take this just a step further, because I really seriously believe if you don't have an emergency, I'm asking you to hold your position. If you have an emergency, you can keep going. If you don't, don't. There's somebody else in this church that doesn't know Jesus. And you didn't move because of all these people in here. Now I'm going to give you another chance to move, because you were brought here tonight for that purpose. Oh, you heard the word of the man of God, but you need to be saved. And what you're doing is you're looking around and you think nobody knows it. Well, it's not those people. The devil knows. And God knows. And I'm saying to you right now, your soul needs to be fixed. You need a brand new start. And I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to give you another opportunity before we leave this auditorium. I'm going to give you another opportunity to admit that you need Jesus. You need healing. You need deliverance. You need, it's all kinds of things you need. God is speaking to your heart right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. Come out in the aisle and come right down here on this platform right here. Whoever that is I'm talking about. Get out of the aisle. Come on down here right now. Right now, come on. I'm not going to close this with you still hanging out there like that. Now, whoever that is, come on down here. Come on down here, and I need you to come now. Glory to God. In the overflow, come now. Come on, you need a new start. Lord Jesus. All right. Okay. I won't force you to come. But I know in my heart that you're there. And I trust God that you'll hear him in time. Because we're living in some dangerous days right now. Did you get something out of the bishop's word tonight? Now, this is, I got some revelation out of that thing tonight. I just feel there is an impartation in here tonight that everybody who is here or watching will receive an impartation for another level of spiritual power, the anointing for doing work. Glory to God. Woo, Lord Jesus. I just feel that now, and that there is something happening in terms of us again renewing our hearts to love God like we're supposed to. Come on now. I mean, Brother Copeland came back and told me, he said, Bill, he said, you ought to see that thing over there. And because he had just come from Bishop Church there, he and Faith had just come from the church. And he said, you should see that. He said, he got about $500 million worth of buildings and projects and everything, and never borrowed a dime. And not, watch this, never asked the United States to give him anything. Come on, now we need to know something here. There's something here I need to know. But this is our time. I like what he said. The world ought to be looking up to you. You are that mountain. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming out tonight and for taking it this wonderful time. I want to do something here. Bishop, before you leave, I want you to lay hands on me for that anointing that you have for big things of God and doing big things with big money, debt-free. I want that impartation right now. I just want it right now. Praise God. I want that right now in the name of Jesus. Woo-hoo!
Now, come on to release.
Turn his mic on. Is his mic on?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing we have that we have not received. He said, freely ye have received and freely give. I decree tonight the unusual release of that hand that get things done as commanded at God's speed with heavenly resources. Receive it. Now, in the name of Jesus.
In a vision, and I was determined to get what God brought him here for, and I got it. I mean, I know he came here for you, but he came here for me. There was a stirring up of something. Paul talks about the laying on of hands to stir up something. My Lord. See, I want all I can get. I'm sorry. I just want all I can get. If he got something, I want it. Well, again, thank you very much for coming out tonight. We have him busy. We're going to work him while he's here and just do a lot of things with him. But again, give he and First Lady a hand. Sister Faith, why don't you come in? Let them see who you are. Let them see who you are. Praise God. We ordered their books. She wrote a tremendous book on how to overcome some things. The devil tried to really attack her and do some things, and she overcame that thing by faith. Praise God. And their books are going to be here, let's see, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We ordered them, but it's going to take 2 weeks for them to come. They're going to be in our bookstore and so forth, so we're going to be able to get it firsthand. Praise God. Now, they're going to meet with some people here shortly, but don't, you know, while they're getting ready, don't be asking them to lay hands on you, because there ain't but one blessing, and I got that. Say amen to that. Touch somebody's hand. Let's touch and agree. That's gone. I got it. Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for this tremendous hour. Thank you for the anointed man and woman of God that you've sent here, Lord, to bring us seed from the motherland. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's in this house and the impartation that was made tonight. And now we give you praise and honor you for it. In the name of Jesus, can somebody shout amen? Amen. Greet three or four people around you. Tell them Jesus loves you, and so do I.